All right, Kedushas Levi, Parshas Kisavo. So the Kedushas Levi brings a very famous yisod. Last week we spoke about a topic that was, I think, famous within the writings of Kedushas Levi, definitely something he had a lot to say about. This is a topic that I think is really a Baal Shem Tov topic, as Ari was saying. Where would we be without the Baal Shem Tov? Where would the Kedushas Levi be without the Baal Shem Tov? So it's really an idea that the Baal Shem Tov seems to have developed first, I guess, although we'll see one source that certainly predates the Baal Shem Tov. But the idea is the idea of the Baschol. Right? There are several statements of Chazal that various voices emanate from heaven telling us to do different things. Says the Kedushas Levi in source number one, V'haya im shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha. It will be if you listen to the voice of Hashem your God. Yivuar al pi maimer chachmeinu zichrono levracha. We have a statement that appears in Zohar, it appears in Medrash. We have a similar statement that appears in Mishnayos. A voice goes out every single day, and it calls to a person to do tshuva. Shuvu banim shovavim. Return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? You wayward children. You rebellious, mischievous children. Okay, now, this baskol that apparently comes out to the world every day. Did anyone ever hear this baskol? I've never heard this baskol. I've never been walking down the streets and heard a voice emanating from the heaven. Uve emes, says the Kedushas Levi, kol ish Yisrael zocha lefi madrega so lishmoa zeako. Each person hears it according to his level. Which means that some people may actually hear it with their ears, and other people might feel it. They might sense it. They may not hear it again through the normal medium of hearing, but they certainly are aware of it. Where do we have such an idea that a person could sense something without actually experiencing it directly? To feel that you're in the presence of something, to see without seeing, to hear without hearing, says the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, K'mayim Rav Aseinu Zichrono Levracha, Afagav Di'ihu Lo Chazi Mazlahu Chazi. And the Gemara describes how a person sometimes finds himself scared of something, even though he doesn't really see anything scary in his immediate environs, and where is that coming from? Where is that fear coming from? Even though he doesn't see it, his eyes don't see it, but his mazel sees it. His neshama perceives it. Says the Kedushas Levi, the same thing is true with this baskol. A voice comes out from Shemayim and says, do tshuva. I never heard that voice. Says the Kedushas Levi, u'mizeh ha'kol ba'his oris tshuva l'chol ish Yisrael b'chol yom. When a person has a thought of tshuva, when for some reason you feel inspired, I want to do tshuva. I want to change a particular midah. I can be better at something. And it's not based on, you didn't hear a shir that inspired you to think that. You didn't learn a sefer or hear a maimer chazal that inspired that thought. Just out of nowhere, you have this sudden burst of tshuva, this longing to be better inside of you. Where did that come from? That's your heart, that's your neshama, responding to the baskol. V'zeh sh'amar v'seinu zechoron levracha. And this is what the Gemara in Chagiga describes. Chutz me'acher. We know that, we'll talk about the full story of Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya, of course, went off the derech and became known as Acher. We'll share his story. We'll chazer it in a few minutes together. But at the end of the story, essentially, a baskol came out and said, everyone should do tshuva with the exception of Acher. You can't do tshuva. Klomar, et Acher eino ma'or es hakol eshuva tshuva. You're the exception to the rule. Every other person, there's a baskol that comes out every day, and even if you don't hear it with your ears, you perceive it. You have moments throughout the day where you feel inspired and you want to do tshuva. Elisha ben Avuya lost the baskol. He still could have done tshuva on his own, but God wasn't reaching out to him. He didn't have the opportunity. Hashem said, I'm not going to call out to you and try to beg you to come back to me. If you want to come back to me, fine, that's your choice. Why did Elisha ben Avuya lose the opportunity? Why is Hashem not calling out to him anymore? Right? The voice isn't called to him. Why? Because he was in the heavens and he messed up. He, so to speak, had an opportunity to see the closest, the most inner things that anyone has ever seen, and he messed it up. So Hashem says, you know what? You messed up so badly, you became a heretic, I'm not reaching out to you. Can you still do tshuva on your own? Of course you can always do tshuva on your own. L'kach or me atzmo b'tshuva. But you, if you want to come back, Elisha, you have to do it on your own. But every other Jew, unless God forbid he loses his right to the baskol like Elisha ben Avuya, but every other Jew presumably does not lose his right to the baskol, and therefore throughout his day he'll have these moments of awakening. What's the challenge? The challenge is, what do I do when I have that feeling? So I just push it aside and say, "Stop! You know, leave me alone. I don't have time to work on that right now. I'm busy with other things." Or do I capture that moment, that hisoris, that awakening for tshuva, and run with it? Says the Kedusha Levi, that's pshat of the pasuk. V'haya im shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha. What does it mean? Three lines from the end of source one. V'haya lashon simcha. V'haya, the Medrash tells us, is a lashon of simcha. It's going to be a great simcha when what? Im shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha. If you listen, what? To the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Haynu akol milamala mashmiya b'kol yom. When the Baskol calls to you, if you listen to it and you respond to it, you say, you know what? I do need to be better. I receive that gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I run with it. Haynu abaskol kan Yisrael el mashmiya b'chol yom l'shuv b'tshuva. If I capture that, then v'haya. Then Hashem kiviyachol is going to be happy with me. Okay, that's the Kedusha Levi in this week's Parsha. And again, I think there are three basic points that come out. Again, point number one is that there is this baskol, and different people hear it in different ways. Some people hear it maybe mamish, and some people just feel it. The baskol that calls us to do tshuva. Point number two, we'll have to figure out exactly what happened with Acher. What does it mean that he doesn't get the call to tshuva, but he can still do tshuva? We'll discuss what that means. And then the third point, again, pshat in our pasuk in the parsha, v'haya, you make Hashem happy, if what? If you respond to the baskol. It's not just to hear it, to be worthy of hearing it, but to actually do something with it. Okay, now before we try to dissect, I guess, these three points, I want to just show you that already in the 1500s, the Kedushas Levi, when did he live? Kedushas Levi lived in the 1700s, right? 1740 to 1809. Okay, when, this, we're talking about someone who lived in the earlier part of Hasidus, right? Let's say third generation Hasidus. Already in the 1500s, the Sefer Charedim seems to say the exact same shot as the Kedushas Levi. Now, I don't know if the Kedushas Levi got this idea from the Sefer Charedim, right? Or was this something he came to on his own? But it's very scary. You read the end of the Sefer Charedim, source number two. It's scary how similar his Lashon is to the Kedushas Levi on some of these points. Let's just read it quickly. Again, just to show you that this idea was not an innovation of the Kedushas Levi, although maybe he helped to spread the idea. We know what it says in the Zohar, says the Sefer Charedim. Baskol yotzis b'chol yom achrezes shuvu banam shovavim. Baskol yotzis me'achori b'chol yom v'meres oy lehem lebrios me'albonu shel Torah. Woe to the Jewish people for the disgrace of Torah. Do tshuva, says the Sefer Charedim. Rav Elazar Azkari, he says, kasha lemi machrizin. Hello, ain anu shomen klum. Who's the Baskol talking to? No one hears this. You can stand at Har Chorev. You can stand at Har Sinai. You can stand in these places where apparently the Baskol emanates from. You're not going to hear anything. Elavadai afagav di'iu lo chazi, masde chazi. Again, apparently, what does it mean? Even though you don't actively see or hear the Baskol, right? Your neshama feels it. Your neshama perceives it. Like it says in Maseches Megillah. Hachanami afagav dehu lo shama mazle shama. Just like in Megillah, people were afraid of something they couldn't really see because their neshama sensed, or could see something that the natural eye couldn't see. Same thing here. Our ear can hear something. Our neshama can hear something that our natural ear can't hear. He adds a nice pshat in the pasuk in Tehillim. Kedichsiv niflaim ma'asecha. Niflaim ma'asecha could mean that your ways are wondrous, but niflaim could also be lashon kisoy, when something is concealed. Where do you see that the shoresh pela can mean concealment? Like it says in Devarim, ki yipalei mimcha davar. When something is unknown to you, when it's concealed from you. So he says, what's the pshat in the pasuk? Niflaim ma'asecha. Hashem, your ways are concealed from me. The baskol that's actually being pronounced, I can't perceive it with my natural senses. And yet, concludes the pasuk, v'nafshi yodat mod. But my neshama knows it. Right? Nafshi yodas mod. Your ways are concealed, but my neshama perceives it. Sometimes your neshama hears something, and your natural ear hasn't heard it, and there's this awakening inside you. And then the Sefer Charedim gives us a piece of advice the Kedushas Levi did not give us, which is what? That the way to get in touch with your neshama hearing properly is to make sure that you start with getting your ear to hear properly. Listen to Chachamim. hear the words of Musar and the words of rebuke from Talmidei Chachamim. And if you do that, hopefully that will awaken within you this ability to hear those things that are harder to hear, because they're more of a spiritual hearing. It's an inner hearing. V'hainu dechziv, he concludes, V'hayam shamoa tishma, klomar, im tishma lemochiach ba'ozen basar, tiske lishmoa ba'ozen halev, kruz malcho shel olam. If you learn to listen with your ear, your natural ear, your physical ear, so eventually you'll learn to hear with your neshama. Okay, so fascinating just to see again, several hundred years before the Kedusha Levi, this idea was already, I guess you could say, floating around. Okay. The Kedusha Levi seemed to say that it is possible for someone to actually hear the Baskol. Right? Most of us perhaps don't, but the Mashmos is that it is possible. And you do find some Svarim that say that yes, it is possible for a person to physically hear the Baskol. Maybe that's the highest level, which is strive to actually hear the Baskol. The Koshitzer Magid in his Avodas Yisrael and Pirkei Avos, usually printed in the back of Avodas Yisrael Torah. So the Koshitzer Magid writes in source number 3, in describing the Mishnah of the five Talmidim of Yochanan ben Zakkai. Right? Rabbi Eliezer was one of the Talmidim, Eliezer ben Horkanis was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Says the Avodas Yisrael, starts off with a somewhat Kabbalistic idea. Chamisha Talmidim Hayulo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanis bore seed she'enu ma'beit tipa. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanis, we know, is described in Pirkei Avos as what? As a pit, as a well that is so well sealed that it doesn't lose even a drop of water. Enu ma'beit tipa, doesn't lose a drop. What does it mean? He says, in a very deep fashion, "Hu al derech the isa," like it says in the Zohar, "Ki bechol yom vayom yardin memches tipin leGan Eden." Every day, 48 drops of wisdom descend upon Gan Eden. V'sham mekablin hanaviim, and the vua is drawn from those drops of wisdom. B'lezeh hayu memches naviim. That's why you read the Gemara in Megillah. How many naviim were there who gave nevuah for future generations? 48. Because of these 48 tipin, these 48 drops that descend to Gan Eden each day. V'shiyurin yardin l'cho alamos ha'tachtonim. And whatever remains from the drops descends further into the world. V'kazeh yored b'chol yom. And this happens on a daily basis. V'zeh mechadish b'tuva b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh b'reishis. Every day Hashem is mechadish mora al mem ches tipin hanizkirleam. These 48 drops, I don't know if he's playing a play on the word mechadish, memches, right, descends on the world, or he's just saying this again, this is just some type of sustenance that renews the world and revives the world. And these drops of wisdom that descend upon the world inspire a person to serve Hashem better. Okay, difficult idea, not fully sure what it means. Then he says, "V'hein hein hakruzim hamuskarim b'shas." Where do we get these baskols from? These voices calling to us to be better. It's based on this descent, this hashpa from these tipin that descend upon the world. Shiyotzin b'chol yom shuvu banam shovavim. That baskol is rooted in this spiritual energy that's descending upon the world. Says the Avodas Yisrael, where it's underlined, "V'yesh asher yishmu hakruz mamish." There are some people who actually can hear the baskol. You have stories of tzaddikim who could see things, who could hear things, right, that the natural ear couldn't hear. Some people are spiritually sensitive enough that they can hear the baskol. V'af misha eina shomeya basher hu begushim b'basar adam. But a person like probably most of us who is, you know, we're more physical, we're more trapped within physicality, al kopanim balo his oris belibo, he feels the baskol in his heart. He feels something, it awakens his heart, and he hopefully acts upon it. Why do we call it a kruz? A cruz that emanates, he says, a cruz is the letters of Zachor. It's a wake-up call. It gets you to start remembering what you're supposed to be, what your Avodas Hashem is supposed to be. Vatzalomar, she'elu akruzim heim, she'yizkor es boro tamid. It wakes you up to remember your Creator. But there are some people, unfortunately, who they have this opportunity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reaching out to them, and they ignore it. They pay no attention to it. They push it away. They don't want to be bothered by this. And he says, that is the derech hura ad l'ma'od. That's a horrible way to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches out to you. He gives you a chance. He extends his hand to you. Just poshe yad. To try to bring you back in tshuva, and you ignore him. That's a horrible way. What's pshat in the Mishnah that we started with? Rabbi Eliezer didn't lose a drop. Says the Avodas Yisrael, final two lines, Aval Rabbi Eliezer lo hayakein. Rak teicha pavolo amachshava tahora hazos. Chosma aluach libo. He locked it into his heart. Lavod ba sabor yisbarach v'loi ma'abir atipa. He would not lose a drop. These 48 drops of, again, spiritual influence that descend upon the world every day, Rabbi Eliezer understood to capture the Baskel and to respond to the Baskel. But again, I think one of the biggest chidushim that comes out of this Avodas Yisrael is that there are people who can actually hear the Baskel. Mamash. Kipshuta. They can hear this voice coming out of Shemayim. Now, not everyone agrees with that. Probably the person who made this idea most famous was the Tolos Yaakov Yosef, the first Hasidic work ever written. And he quotes the Baal Shem Tov nearly 250 times. He quotes him 249 times, I think, about Ari Kaplan says. And he quotes several times about the Sefer Parshas Kedoshim, Parshas Re'eh, a bunch of different places, this idea. How does it work? How does a person hear the Baskel? Can one hear the Baskel? And he writes that it's not possible for anyone to actually hear the Baskel. He says in the middle of the first line, source number 4, Amru Chazal, B'chol yom yotzei baskol amach reshuvu. V'hik shemori, I heard from my master, my Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, mimanavshach. I don't understand. Me'acha shalo nimtza shum adam sheyishma baskol. There's no person on planet Earth who's on a high enough level to hear the baskol. So then eich machris. So then in what sense is it calling out? In what sense is it calling out? You know, a tree falls in the forest, no one's around to hear it, doesn't make a sound. Right? Same thing here. What's the point of a baskol that no one can hear? No one on planet Earth can hear it. So therefore, maybe you'll say, you'll be forced to say, maybe you'll say, okay, so therefore, by definition, there must be someone who hears it. Says the Tolos Yaakov Yosef, in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, v'ze'eino. It's not true. I'm still not convinced. Even though I would have to assume that someone must hear it, I'm still not convinced that anyone hears it. It's not possible to hear it. Who on earth can think that they're worthy of hearing the voice of God? Baskol Shemachris. Devadai lo nimza kazeh. V'hadra kushya baskol lamali. And our question therefore returns, what's the point of the baskol? And of course he goes on to explain this idea of the Hirurei Truva, and he ties it into a Gemara that the other Mefarshim have not yet quoted. A Gemara in Meseches Chagiga. Gemara in Chagiga describes how one of the Tanayim once decided to debate a certain troublemaker. And they were signaling to each other. They were doing hand signals to each other. Back and forth. So the king said to the Tana, what did he signal to you? And the Tana was quick to respond. He said to this heretic, this troublemaker, knew, what did the Tana signal to you? And he said, I don't know. So he says, you don't know. How can you stand before the king doing hand signals if you don't know how to interpret someone else's hand signals? Only someone who knows how to interpret the hand signals deserves to stand in the royal court giving these hand signals. All for this head. And they took him out and they killed him. Says the Baal Shem Tov, in explanation of the Baskel, second paragraph in source number 4, Ubir ki malchusa da harake in malchusa da rakia. We know what goes on below is a parallel of what goes on above. And he quotes this Gemara Chagiga, Mandalo yada lechvia b'mechol kamei malka. The one who doesn't know how to signal and interpret signals before the king shouldn't do such a thing. Va'enyan, kinimus hamalchus lemat b'divor. When you're standing before the king, you better make sure you say everything in the most concise and precise way. You try to limit your words. If you can give a signal, right? They snap the finger, and the guy brings over the wine, and he refills the king's cup. There's no conversation, a mundane conversation in front of the king. Rak lahavina inyan is beremez. You need to understand things through signals, through hints. Like the pasuk says, "Ein omer ve'ein dvarim belinish makolam." There's nothing to say. In the presence of the king, you're very careful with what you say. Imkein hakruzhu of machshava veremez. So what's the baskel? The baskel, the signals, so to speak, in front of the king are what? Are things that are not openly spoken, but rather it's your hurei tshuva shaban la'adam b'chol yom mitzarakruz. And again, a wise person will tap into this. But again, the chiddush of the Tolos Yaakov Yosef is that no one can hear it. So on the one hand, the kashrus or magid seems to tell us that there are people on the level of hearing, But, says the Tolus Yaakov Yosef, no one hears it in a literal sense. But the bottom line is, each person in their own way, like Kedushas Levi said, according to Fimadre Gusso, each person has this Hisoris, this awakening that takes place. That was point number one in Kedushas Levi. Point number two, what happened with Elisha ben Avuya? Right, so I'm sure many of us are familiar with the Gemara and Chagiga, Yudalim and Beis, Arba Nichnasu Bepardes, four people used Kabbalistic names of God, says Rashi, to ascend to the highest heavens. Who were they? Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva. Acher, of course, being Elisha ben Avuya. What happened? Elisha ben Avuya was warned, don't get confused what you're saying in Shemayim, and he got confused, and he went off the Derech. And he went and he figured, well, since I'm off the derech anyways, and Avaskol came out and said, I can't do tshuva, I might as well have a good time. So he went and he found an Isha Zona, and it was Shabbos. He said, what? You're that big rabbi, Elisha ben Avuya. What are you doing coming to solicit a woman of ill repute? So he says, I'm not that guy. He bends down with Shabbos, he plucks a radish out of the ground, and she says, oh, you must not be, you look exactly like that big rabbi, Elisha ben Avuya, but you must be Acher, you must be someone else. And that's how he got the name Acher. He became known as a great heretic, unfortunately. Rabbi Meir, his Talmud, was still following around to learn from his Torah because his Torah, his shiurim were so good that how could he not? But unfortunately, he gave up on himself because of this baskol. Some people get a baskol to wake them up to tshuva. Some people get a baskol, like Elisha ben Avuya, saying, you can't do tshuva. But it's important for us to realize, an important yisod that the Sfarim talk about, and that is that he still could have done tshuva. Like the Kedushas Levi said. Just because the voice in heaven says he can't do tshuva, or just because the voice in heaven says, I'm not going to send you your daily dose of inspiration that comes out of nowhere, that hisoris that flares up in a person's heart, based on this baskol, as we've seen, that doesn't mean you can't do tshuva. Maybe a little harder for you to do tshuva. God may not be reaching out to you to do tshuva, right? But you can take the initiative and do tshuva. I heard a vort, I think, probably from Rav Goldvich many years ago, in the name of his uncle, Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldvich Zatzal, who was Rosh Yeshiva of KBY. So he said, pshat in this Gemara. The Gemara says in source number 5, Yotzta Baskol Va'amra, the Baskol came out and said, Shuvu Banim Shovavim Chutz Me'acher. Do tshuva, everyone can do tshuva, except for Acher. So Rav Goldvich, Shlita, told me in the name of Rav Goldvich Zatzal, that what's the pshat? He said, his uncle said, okay, if you're going to act like an Acher, you can't do tshuva, but what? But if you start acting like Elisha ben Avuya, if you get back to being the Heilig Gatana Elisha ben Avuya, then you can do tshuva. It's a very nice idea. Act like an Acher, you can't do tshuva. But come, change your ways, and you can do tshuva. And I love that var. I loved it so much that I remembered it. But the problem was, as I continued to learn, I found something that seems to contradict it. Because the Yerushalmi in Chagiga has a different lashon. Look at the Yerushalmi in source number 6. I'm curious what he would respond to this. Maybe he still has an answer, but to me it seems like a strong challenge. Vashamati baskol yatzei beis kodesh kadashim v'omer shuvu banim chutz mi Elisha ben Avuya. Even if you act like Elisha ben Avuya, you can't do tshuva. You have an answer? Sit gas.
Simply, it could be that, according to them, if he thinks that he's Elisha ben Avuya, when he's acting like Acher, he can't do tshuva, but when he recognizes...
Okay, so if you're a full-fledged Elisha ben Avuya, you're saying you can do tshuva. But if you're still like this...
Well, based on the Bible, he says that if he's acting Elisha ben Avuya, he can do tshuva. According to Yerushalmi, it's pushing Elisha ben Avuya, because if he's Acher, and he thinks he's still on that high level...
Until he acknowledges he's an Acher, you can't even begin the process of tshuva, you're saying.
The opposite.
I hear. Okay, good defense. Very good, we need to defend. Govah said we have to defend it. Okay? All right. Good. So let's go with what I'm suggesting, though, that even as Elisha ben Avuya, the Baskol saying you can't do tshuva. So what was his avoda? So the answer is, his avoda was to say, afal pichim, I don't really care what the voice from heaven says. We're learning about Metzia this year. The Gemara says, when the Baskol came out, right? And we say, lo b'shamayim hi. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, good, I'm glad you didn't listen to Baskol. We don't paskin based on Baskols. The Baskol was a test for Elisha ben Avuya. And his response is supposed to be, I don't have to listen to you. And because there's no mitzvah of tshuva in that moment, because Hashem said, I'm taking away the mitzvah of tshuva from you. You know what he should have said? Great. So now I'm going to do tshuva, and it's going to be totally lishma. I can't even hope to get schar for returning to you. That's what the Bnei Yisachar says in the Agra de Pirka in the very first paragraph. He quotes from the name of the Chozev Lublin, And he says, in explanation of Elisha ben Nevuyim, the second line, Ilu hayameshiv, kevan shekein hu, azai, hinei hu ha'eis va'ona la'avdacha avoda shlema amitis. This was a unique opportunity to serve Hashem, l'shem shemayim. Kevan she'ein kan kivoy letashlem schar. He's not going to get reward for it. There's no mitzvah of tshuva. He has to come back to Hashem and just say, you know what, Hashem, I want to be close to you. Ilu hayameshiv, where it's bolded, kazos, hayimichupar lo vayimegiyah l'mal gedola. It was a unique opportunity where a person is told you can't do something and he says, Hashem, I love you so badly, I'm going to do it anyways. That was a unique type of avodas Hashem he was offered. Yeah.
If he really lost his opportunity to do tshuva, then what would be the point of him even still being alive? Why would Hashem keep him alive if he really lost his
okay, opportunity? So maybe that's
still,
right.
He should realize that the fact that he's still alive and living in this world, meaning that there should be
there's some purpose. Right. Okay, so he missed those signals. He missed that signal. It was a unique opportunity for him to reject the Baskel. So if every single one of us on a daily basis was to try to capture the Baskel and run with it, to take that awakening to tshuva and run with it, Elisha ben Avuya should have realized that this Baskel is one, this is the 10 Baskel to ignore, right? If I'm alive, I must have a purpose. And he concludes, the Agra de Pirka in source 7 concludes by quoting from the Shula in the name of his father, the Shnei Luchos HaBris, three lines from the end where it's bolded. He says, this is the pshat of the Gemara Pesachim Pei Vavim and Beis. Kol masha yomer lecha bala bayis, asay, chutz mitzay. Everything the master of the house tells you to do, you should do except for get out. You're invited to someone's house. And they say, take off your shoes when you come in. So you take off your shoes. They say, take a second bowl of chulin. You say, thank you very much. I'll take a second bowl of chulin. Do whatever they ask you to do, with one exception. If they say, leave, don't leave. Stay. Oh, it's hard to understand Pashup Shah, what's this Gemara saying? But on a deeper level, says the Shla, in the name of his father, everything, who's the Baal HaBayis? Kadosh Baruch Hu's the Baal HaBayis. Right? In Pirkei Avos, Hashem is called the Baal HaBayis. Everything the Baal HaBayis tells you to do, everything Hashem tells you you should do except for what? If Hashem says, get out. You're done. I reject you. I'm not interested in you. It's a test. And Elisha ben Avuya failed that test because he listened to the Baskel. And the Agra de Pirka explains the Pasuk in Parshas Ekev based on this Yesod. Beautiful pshat. Take a look. He writes it out, but it's lengthy, so I just gave you the Pasuk. I'll tell it to you outside. If you forget about Hashem and you worship other gods, and you bow down to them and you serve all these foreign things, Hashem says, I'm going to destroy you because you didn't listen to my voice. That's Pashup Shad in the Pesukim. Look how the Agra de Pirka learned it. Look how the Bnei Yisrael learns it. Vahaya, Hashem is going to be happy. If what? If you forgot about Hashem, you did all these terrible things, and a Baskel comes out and says, you can't do tshuva, you know what's going to make Hashem happy? Look at the end of the Pasuk. Ekev lo tishmun b'kol Hashem Elokecha. If you don't listen to the voice, you're going to make Hashem happy. It's a test. Elisha ben Avuya failed the test. So you have, again, these two opposites. On a daily basis, the Kedushas Levi's Vard, V'haya, Hashem will be happy if you listen to the Baskel for you to do tshuva. But if, God forbid, we should ever experience a Baskel that says you can't do tshuva, what's the proper response? The proper response is, I don't have to listen to you, Mr. Baskel. Right? Miss Baskel. It's not a Ben Kol. The Rishonim already asked, why is it called a Baskel, not a Ben Kol? I don't have to listen to the Baskel. And Hashem will be proud of me if I fight my way back to him. To show him that I love him, I'm going to do tshuva regardless of what the Baskel tells me. Yes, Jake?
Did the Loba Shamayim, the episode, did that happen chronologically before this or after this?
That would have been after this.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say that.
Yeah, presumably after this. Yeah. Yeah, presumably after this.
So how could he have known?
Yeah. How could he have known? Okay. So it could be, you know, again, if he's alive, he has to figure out, why am I alive?
Right, yeah.
What's my purpose? What am I doing on planet Earth? Okay? As much as it sounds like an idea that, and again, it is an idea that's developed in Sifrei Chassidus, the Chofetz Chaim says essentially the exact same thing. In the Chofetz Chaim al Torah, he uses this to explain the whole sugya of Paro. Paro is also told, you're done, Paro. You can't do tshuva. You can't change your ways. I'm hardening your heart, and I'm done with you. V'rab washoalim, and everyone asks, ani aksher slei Paro. Many ask, eich zenin alu b'fnei Paro dalsos tshuva. How can Hashem slam the door in Paro's face and say you can't do tshuva? Halo b'derech klal shari tshuva einam ninalim afilu lechote yoser gadol. You can be the biggest sinner in the world. That's what tshuva is for the biggest sinner in the world. It's an opportunity for him. Ela inyan who? Sometimes a person does an avera, he does a bad job, And Hashem says, you messed up, but I'll reach out to you. Like we daven, hachzireinu b'tshuva shleim lefanecha. Bring us back, Hashem. Reach out to me. However, yesh chotim shehigdishu asasa. There are some people who filled up their cup, so to speak, with sin. Ad kedekach shenishla meham asiyua u'minashalayin lo yazru lehem. Sometimes a person messes up so bad that God says, I'm done helping you. How many chances can I give you? You're on your own now. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell Paro, I'm done reaching out to him. I reached out to him plenty of times. He had plenty of warnings. He's on his own now. If he wants to do tshuva, he can still do tshuva. But it's up to him. It's in his, the ball is in his court, so to speak. And concludes the Chafetz Chaim in the final three lines, and that exactly was the mistake of Elisha ben Avuya. V'zo ha'isa ta'uso shal Elisha ben Avuya. Kishasham abas kol shuva banu shovim chutz me'acher. Or according to the Yerushalmi, Shuvu Banim Shovim Chutz Me'Elisha Ben Avuya, he should have said to the Baskol, Af Al Pichein. Chishev Shal Olam Lo Tiskabel Tshuvah, so he gave up on himself. He said, I'm done. God said, I'm done. All it meant was what? Hu Lo Yada, Ki Lo Nishlala Imenu HaBechira. Such an important thing for us to think about in the month of El. There's never a possibility, there's nothing that you can't do Tshuvah for. You know, the Zohar talks about certain levers that a person can't do Tshuvah for. Right? So maybe that's the exact same thing we're supposed to say, Af Al Pichein. It's a test. It means that Hashem is not going to reach out to me to correct this particular type of sin. But I can still do tshuva. I have to fight my way back. And not chas v'shalom to give up. Not chas v'shalom to give up on myself. Okay, in the morning, in BMP, in addition to learning Hilchos Yoredeya and Bava Metzia, we're learning Sefer Shmuel. So you have a very powerful example of this, just to show you how we find it already within the Navi itself. An example of exactly this idea. Where a person was lost the opportunity. Right? Hashem was no longer reaching out to them, I guess, is a better way to say it, in tshuva. Eli's sons, Eli the Kohen's sons, are completely bad. They're causing a lot of trouble. They're B'nai Belial. They don't know Hashem, the Pasuk says. And Eli comes and he gives them Musar. And he says, how can you do this? How can you do these types of averos? He says in Pasuk Chafei, in source number 10, Im yech te ish l'ishu falo Elohim. If you do a bad job, you get into a fight with another man, so you get judged by Elohim. Means what? Judges. V'im la'ashem yechta ish mi yispalalo. But if you sin against God, who's going to help you? And what do? Do they take their father's Musar Shmuz to heart? They don't listen. V'lo yishma'u l'kol aviyem ki chafetz Hashem la'misa. They didn't listen because God wanted to kill them. Very troubling pasuk. What does that mean? They didn't have free will? Hashem made sure that they wouldn't listen to their father's Musar Shmuz because God wanted to kill Chofni and Pinchas, the B'nai Eli, because of their crimes? Says the Radak. He compares it to Paro, he compares it to other cases in the Navi, and he says in the second line, V'ata, ki kishiyagdi la'adam lachto, yimna kel mimenu darche tshuva, kidei shikabel oncho, v'anisharim yiru v'yirau. Sometimes a person sins so much that Hashem says, I'm going to make an example out of him. I want him to get punished and I want others to learn from this person's mistake. But if you're only a lightweight sinner, if you're a person who has not become a habitual sinner, Hashem says, I reach out to you. I'm more quick to help pick you back up. But if you sin and sin and sin, Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to punish you. I'm going to make an example out of you. And people are going to learn from you. Says the Radak, just like the Chafetz Chaim, before the Chafetz Chaim, just like the Bnei Yisachar, before the Bnei Yisachar, the Radak said it first, look what he says, Va'afilu yar be'harash alachto, im shav al Hashem b'chol levavo. If a person becomes a habitual sinner, to the point that Hashem says, I want to kill you, I want to punish you, I don't want you to do tshuva. If he fights his way back, b'chol levavo, umar l'bnei adam gam kein tshuvaso shleima, va'ochez aderach atov b'chol nafsho v'chol ma'odo, the emes to kubal tshuvaso shleima, v'yelo siu aloki b'tshuva. If you fight back, if you initiate, Hashem says, I'll pull you in. However, what happened in this particular case? Why does the Navi say that Hashem wants to kill them? Because Hashem looked into their heart of hearts and saw that they were not prepared to fight their way back. They had given up on themselves, and therefore the Navi, from that bird's eye view, is telling us, Hashem didn't let them, so to speak, listen to the voice because they didn't have that drive to fight their way back. But again, this is supposed to be our attitude. When you hear, God forbid, a baskel, when you find yourself in a situation where you feel, I can't do tshuva, fight back. Realize that that's part of the test, part of the nisayon. And of course, you have the opportunity to do tshuva. Obviously, in the month of El, the goal is to to respond to the bas kol. Right? Again, all year round we get these bas kols, like the base of the Kedushas Levi said. Basically, the Kedushas Levi, that was a good slip up. Right? The Kedushas Levi said, all year round we get these moments of Hesoros. But we have to try to capture it. And that's the bottom line. And we'll end this year with this theme. And that is, again, the goal is to take the bas kol, that Hesoros within, and to carry it with you. And sometimes you can even find bas kols in unusual places. And all this time we were talking about this awakening, this internal awakening. But there's also this theme in other svarim where I look around me and I try to analyze life's events and see that as a bas kol. In the Imros Moshe, or Moshe of Kabrin, in the section on Elul, so he tells a beautiful story about the Lechavitcher. He says in Source 12, Baran Zechusu Yagen Aleinu Siper, the Kabriner, Moshe of Kabrin, used to tell, Shal Lechavitcher Zechusu Yagen Aleinu Benasso Amad Bekretchim. One time, right? The Lechavitcher was traveling around and he went to the Kretchmir. He went to the local tavern. Shehotzuch Lanuach Hasus. He needed the horses to rest a little bit. V'nichnas l'bayis v'yashru shama arelim. He walked in, he found a bunch of drunken non-Jews sitting around. V'yazeb yamei elul. V'shama sha'amar arel zakin echad l'shar arelim. He saw that the leader of the pack said to the other ones, I'm not even going to try it in Yiddish. You can ask Adam Friedman after this year to give you the Yiddish. Misha lo oved b'chodesh zeh, lo yelo ma lechol kol ha'shana. He told the chaver, listen, if we're going to sit around drinking, if we don't get to work during this month, we're going to have a bad year, our business is going to fail, and therefore we won't have what to eat all year round. V'kara tzadik l'anashav. The Lechavitcher turned to his chaver and he said to them, you hear what this fellow said? V'amar lehem, your heart nis vos arzokt. Did you hear? How did I do, Sidkas? Did you hear what this guy said? If we don't work in this month, we're dead the rest of the year. If we don't do tshuva nelo, if we don't try to wake ourselves up in the month of Elul, right, then we're in big trouble moving forward. That's a bas kol. You hear a mundane conversation, you try to learn something from it. That's a bas kol. Famous story that's brought in the Tenuas HaMusar in the section about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was an expert in this. He used to always try to extract a Musar lesson from everything around him. So it says that one time where it's bolded, Pam is damin b'sham u'cheres b'layel l'beis sandler echad. He came to a certain sandler, a shoemaker, one night, late at night. V'ra'u yosheva usim alachta lor aner ha'olich v'do'ach. He sat there by the candle which was dimming and flickering, and the candle's about to go out and he's doing a few more stitches. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Mandua utcha yosheva alavodascha. What are you so busy with? Don't you realize, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, halo asha, komo, charis, it's so late at night. V'regam aner od ma'at v'yichbe. V'lo yasipik v'yadcha lifol ma'uma. Don't you realize the candle's on its way out? Says the sandler, back to Yisrael Salanter, Zechersadik v'kadosh l'vracha. Ein b'kach chlum, ane lo asandler, kol zman sh'aner dolik od efshar lifol l'takin. As long as the candle is still burning, a person can be metakin. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was so blown away by that thought, he used to walk around and say to himself, Ner Hashem nishmas adam. The candle inside of man is our neshama. As long as the candle is burning, kol zman sh'aner dolik od efshar lifol l'takin. That's a person who's listening for bas kols. Again, not just responding to the awakening within, but trying to hear messages from without. To gain wisdom from all of the simple things that happen around us. Probably my favorite story that expresses this idea is the story of Shlomo Freifeld. I'm sure some of you have heard it or read it. Shlomo Freifeld, in his biography, records that one time he had to go to the bank to take care of some business. And he walked into the bank and the lady behind the desk, or the gentleman behind the desk, who had never met Rav Freifeld, had spoken to him many times on the phone, was very taken by his appearance. Rav Freifeld was, carried himself in a very regal fashion. He was tall, he was a towering individual. And the person behind the counter said to him, he introduced himself, I'm Rabbi Freifeld, Shlomo Freifeld. He said, Rabbi Freifeld, you know, you're such a tall person. I didn't picture you to be such a big person. Thought he was some little, you know, cute little old Rosh Hashiva rabbi type, right? She never imagined that he would be this towering individual. She says, listen, the manager of the bank wants you to go upstairs to talk about the yeshiva's account. So Rabbi Freifeld goes up to the manager's office on the second floor and he walks in. And the manager says to him, you know, Rabbi Freifeld, have a seat. And he pulls up the file on the computer and he says, Rabbi Freifeld, you know, I've been going over the account and it appears that you're a little short. So Rabbi Freifeld turned to the young man who was with him, one of the bachurim from the yeshiva, and he says, do you hear that? He says, downstairs, they tell me I'm a big man. He says, I come upstairs, and they tell me that my account's a little bit short. You go through life, you think, you know, down here, we think we're big people. We think we know what's what. I know Tosos Yachloku, and I know a little bit about Migo Lahotzi, right? And I feel like, oh, I'm holding that. I know the sugyas and Bava Metzia, right? And I'm davening, and I'm learning, and I'm doing mitzvos. And yeah, maybe I make a little mistake here and there, but for the most part, I'm a big person. You get to Shemayim, and you realize what you could have been. You realize that your account's not nearly as full as it needs to be, right? Chas v'shalom, a person gets a scary wake-up call. But again, only someone like the personality of Rav Freifeld or Rav Yisrael Salanter, and hopefully us, if we work on ourselves, can try to absorb these messages around us. All right, two final sources. The Imre Noam, the Rebbe of Jukov, writes in Parsha Shoftim that one of the greatest mistakes that man could make is to not respond to the Basmala. Again, you have these awakenings, you have these openings, these opportunities to return to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to catch a message from God. If you miss that, if Hashem reaches out to you and you let it pass you by, he says there's almost nothing as bad as that. Nothing as tragic, Chas v'Shalom, as missing that call from the Rabbono Shalom directly to you. And he ties it into Parsha Shoftim. Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chol sharecha, source 14. No sein lecha l'shvatecha. V'chulu. Nira li b'derech Moser. Man could come up with the following excuse to exempt himself from any type of punishment. I can get the Shemayim after 120, I can say to God, you know what? You can't blame me for anything. Why? You say to God, listen, Rabbi Shalom, you gave me Yitzhara. You put it inside of me. Anything that went wrong, it's your fault. You put this crazy force inside of me that won't let me rest. And he quotes the Gemara in Brachos, right, the Tefillah of Rabbi Alexandria, Brachos Yitzayin Amad Aleph. When he would finish down each one, he'd say, Golov Yadu Hashem, you know that I want to do your will, but the Yitzhara stops me. So, seemingly, man has a good excuse. I don't want to be punished. I don't want to be held accountable for anything I did wrong. Hashem, you set me up to fail. Says the Rebbe of Jikov, that's all true. Until what? Until you get the Baskel. Says the Rebbe, where it's bolded, Ach be'emes yesh teretz al zeh al derech maimer chazal. However, we can answer, we can respond to this bad excuse with the statement of Chazal, b'chol yom v'yom v'askol yotzeis me'achorei v'chulu. The statement of Chazal we've been studying tonight. V'yadu b'shem sifrei kodesh, again, all this farm that we've seen, de'hein hein yirhurei tshuva shenishk l'chu, l'chol echa l'ftoach lo pesach l'shuv mecheto. U'ledabek atzmo b'toro ma'isim tovim. This is the call to you, this is the wake-up call. V'osan yirhurei tshuva heim dofkim, they're knocking on your heart, saying, wake up. If I'm paying attention, if I'm guarding myself, if I'm watching, if I'm aware of myself, I see these things so clearly. As it says, "Ein lecha adam she'ein lo shah." Every person has that moment. Every person gets that call. If I'm alive, if I'm alert, if I'm awake, I recognize it. I realize, oh my gosh, how have I lived my life like this? And I wake up. V'zoa machshava, where it's bolded. V'zoa machshava nishlocha lo me'es Hashem Yisparach b'kavana, k'dei sheyachos machshava zu v'lo yarpo sa. When you get that moment, kol adam yesh lo shah, everyone gets that call. When you get that call, when Hashem reaches out to you, you have to grab it and hang on to it for dear life. At sheyotze machshava zu mikoach el apoel. To take that call and turn it into reality. To correct everything that you did wrong. This is the call from Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the pshat, he says in the Gemara, had Hashem not helped you, you'd be consumed by your Yetzirah. But Hashem does help us. And therefore we don't have the excuse of the Yetzirah. And he says again, where it's bolded, two lines down, Acha adam eino mevinzos. But most of us are fast asleep. And we don't get the call. We don't pay attention to the call. V'teikav masiach das ve'osa machshava tova she'kadosh baruch hu azro ba la'ativ achriso. Hashem is begging you to come back to Him. He wants to give you good in the end of days, but you have to respond to the baskel. V'lo yifol ba me'uma l'shuv midar chara. And most of us, again, we don't respond to it. V'al zeh, look what he says here, scary line. V'al zeh hu ikir ha'mishvat be'beisin shomala ala adam. You have the biggest excuse in the world. Hashem gave us the Yetzirah. But as soon as the Baskel resonates in our heart, we lose the excuse. And therefore, a failure to capture the Baskel is the greatest source of mishpat against man. God says, I reached out to you, and you blew me off. You totally ignore me. You totally ignore me. I reached out, it reminds me, I'm just thinking now, it reminds me of the Maharal's explanation of the Gemara's statement that a person who doesn't treat the Moed properly, a person who mezalzel chol Moed, It's as if he's kofar be'ikr. Why? Don't you call a moed? Says the Mara, what's a moed? Why is the Mishkan called the Ohel Moed? Moed means a meeting place. God says, I want to set up a meeting with you, and you don't show up. You just blow him off like that. God reaches out to you and says, come back to me in tshuva. I'm calling out to you. You did the Avera. You should be begging me to come back. But you know what? I reach out to you. And you don't return his phone call. Says the Jikavar, says the Imre Noam in Shoftim, Al Zehu Iker HaMishpat Bebeis in Shemaala Adam. This is the biggest taina against you in Shemayim. And he says, that's the pshat of the Pasuk. Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol she'arecha. What does it mean? The last bolded section. Hainu ikir hadin v'amishvat she'esh ala adam hu b'chol she'arecha she'er Hashem lokecha nosein lecha. Hashem gave you she'arim. Hashem opened up your heart. He gave you haposeach shar l'dovkei b'tshuva. Hashem gave you an opening and you didn't respond to it. That's the greatest failure in the world. And therefore it behooves us to try to capture the baskol and to act upon it. And the more we make ourselves receptive to it, the more we show Hashem that we want to listen, the more Hashem will call out to us. You know, people complain, I daven and God never speaks back to me. If you make yourself a kli to receive the word of Hashem, you're not going to have nevuah. You're not going to have, like the Avodas Yisrael said, we're going to hear it mamash with your own ears, although maybe it's possible if we refine our hearing so much. But you'll be getting a lot of calls from Hashem in subtle ways. And we conclude with the words of the Slonim Rebbe in the Divrei Shmuel by Sukkis. He says on the line that we recite in the Hoshanos, Hoshana lahavin shmuot, mipicha nishmos. Hoshana lahavin shmuos, I understand what I'm hearing, mipicha nishmos. I'm hearing it from your mouth. What does it mean? He quotes the Baal Shem Tov, this idea that the Baskol, right, as we've seen many times tonight, and he says, however, achein, where it's bolded. You're only going to get the baskol if you want the baskol. If you want to hear it, we don't. Hashem doesn't want to get you in trouble. Rejecting the baskol, the Jikavar told us, is the biggest punishment in the world. It's the biggest taina against us. Hashem says, I'm not going to give you a baskol if you're not ready to hear it. One of the Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos tell us, Mitzvah, it's a mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it's a Gemara in Yevamos. Mitzvah shelo lomer davar she'eino nishma. Don't waste your words. Don't say something that someone else is not going to hear. Hashem, the Yerushalmi tells us, keeps the Torah. So that means if you're not going to listen, Hashem says, I'm not going to waste my time with you. V'kineged elu harotzim lishma. But those who want to hear, it's about those people we recite in the Paitan, right, in the Piyut, in the Hoshanos of Sukkis. La'avin shmuos mipicha nishmos. Shekadosh Baruch Hu mashmil lehem habasko. If you want to hear it, Hashem's going to call out to you. So Mirtz Hashem, we should all be zochet v'mekayim. Like we started with the words of the Kedushas Levi. The simcha is going to be im shemoa tishma v'kol Hashem lokecha. If we listen to the voice of Hashem, but not only to listen to it, as the pasuk continues, right, to do the mitzvos and to run with that baskol, to wake ourselves up to tshuva, and amir to Hashem, we'll be able to return to Hashem b'chol libo v'b'chol nafsho.